This is Peter Overby. The Senate Governmental Affairs Committee called its hearing The Fall of Enron, How Could This Have Happened? An equally appropriate title might have been We Should Have Seen It Coming. As Chairman Joseph Lieberman, a Connecticut Democrat, put it, with Enron, the watchdogs weren't watching. Virtually all of the reforms discussed today had been discussed and discarded before. The main witness was Arthur Levitt, the combative former chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. 2 years ago, he tried to stop accounting firms from serving clients both as well-paid consultants and as supposedly independent auditors. That's the relationship Arthur Andersen had with Enron. Aggressive lobbying from the accounting industry and its allies in Congress blocked Levitt's proposal. Today, he said that's the kind of attitude that set the stage for the collapse of Enron.
When I was at the SEC, I referred to this as a culture of gamesmanship. A gamesmanship that says it's okay to bend the rules, to tweak the numbers, and let obvious and important discrepancies slide.
New Jersey Democrat Robert Torricelli actually offered Levitt a mea culpa. He'd been in the thick of the fight against Levitt.
The country may not have listened. The Congress did not respond. We were wrong. You were right.
The committee went over other possible reforms, more independent analysts and corporate directors, more checks and balances on auditing firms. Senators worried openly that Enron has created a crisis of confidence among investors. Lieberman wondered what to tell constituents who ask him if their corporate 401k retirement plans are all right. Levitt said he wouldn't give them a blanket reassurance.
No, I wouldn't want to panic people who have participated in this very important program, but I'd say that we can't take it for granted and there have to be changes, and we're going to make changes and help investors become wiser investors.
With the start of the Enron hearings, Congress has a problem, at least of appearances. Lieberman, a beneficiary of contributions from Enron and the accounting industry, took note.
This scandal cries out for thorough congressional investigation to make sure that nothing like this ever happens again. Yet, because Enron has made substantial political contributions to members of Congress and the executive branch, some have questioned the capacity of any congressional committee to conduct an independent, thorough investigation of Enron.
Lieberman paused the hearing this afternoon to announce that campaign finance reform now seems headed for a floor vote in the House. For much of the hearing, lawmakers lamented that they had ignored warnings or actively resisted them. Now, those regrets are likely to make congressional investigators all the more aggressive. This committee wants to know about contacts that Enron and Arthur Andersen had with four federal regulatory agencies and with the White House. The first letters of inquiry will be going out next month. Peter Overby, NPR News, The Capitol.
Today, we spoke with somebody inside the Enron complex in Houston. Erica Duncan works in a new office tower that Enron's had under construction. It's just across the street from Enron headquarters at 1400 Smith Street. Ms. Duncan has worked for Enron for almost 3 years. She's now at Enron Online. Business clients use the site to trade commodities. The Swiss group UBS Warburg has agreed to buy that segment of the company. The deal has not yet closed. So far, Duncan still has her job. She says other divisions nearby weren't so lucky.
There were several other groups on our floor, and they were hit very hard. So after the initial layoffs on December 2nd, December 3rd, it was like a ghost town.
And does the building itself seem to be deserted? I know it's not finished yet, but...
It is not like it was before. Because the building's not finished, we cannot actually enter through the ground level. We have to come through the existing building on 1400 Smith and then go through a skywalk. And it used to be in the mornings, there would be crowds waiting to get on to the elevator banks. There'd be a huge line at the coffee stand. And now you just push the elevator button and you get on. And there are, you know, 5 or 10 people in line for coffee.
How is it possible, Ms. Duncan, that you can get any work done at all without just sort of gathering around with your colleagues and talking about what in the world's happening with this company?
Oh, we do that a lot.
Oh, we do.
We take lots of coffee breaks, and we do spend a lot of time talking about what we think is going on, what was in the news last night, just everything.
Mm-hmm. You're at your desk and you're looking around at desks that are vacant and will continue to be vacant. You must be saying sometimes, well, Why not me, or when is it going to be me?
Exactly. There's a lot of survivor's guilt. I know I still have a little knot in my stomach thinking, okay, well, I've survived December and I survived this last round, but, you know, what if the deal doesn't close? It could still all fall apart.
Did you see people who were, we heard, given 30 minutes to pack up and leave the building?
I don't know if they had 30 minutes, but I saw people packing up and leaving in very short order.
That's really kind of traumatic, I bet.
It is. I mean, the day that we filed for bankruptcy, we knew it was coming. But when you actually hear it on the news, we've got big flat panels all over the floor, and people were standing around crying openly. And when they started announcing the layoffs, you know, people were standing around hugging, crying, calling family and friends on the phone. Certainly the most traumatic event in my professional career.
I wonder how you feel looking back. How long have you been with the company, Enron?
It will be 3 years in June.
Would you have said 2 years ago, it's a great place to work, it's a fantastic creative Absolutely. Organization?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Now, why would you said it? Why would you have said it was a great company?
Well, one of the reasons I chose Enron in the first place was their stature in Houston. You know, they do a lot of very good things for the community. And also, they kept pushing their vision and values. And at first, I was a little skeptical. I thought, sure, everyone has visions and values, and they all sound wonderful. But because they kept telling this over and over and over again, I started believing that they really, really bought into this. And so I bought into it.
Yeah, I've heard stories about people being very excited to show up early in the morning to come to work at Enron in the past.
Well, I'm not a morning person, but yes. People would get here, you know, at 7:30, you know, 8 o'clock, and would be here until 7 in the evening. Those same people now, they come in at 8:30 or 9, and they leave at about 5:30.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, Ms. Duncan, have any of your supervisors talked with the employees about not speaking to the press?
You know, we walk through hordes of camera people every morning and every evening when we come and go. So it's on everyone's mind, but no one has specifically said, oh, don't talk to them.
Do you feel let down by any one person?
Yes.
Who would that be?
That would probably be Ken Lay.
Ken Lay, who just resigned last night?
Yes. Around Christmas. It was obviously very fresh and top of everyone's mind, and I honestly thought the one thing I want for Christmas is, you know, a personal apology from Ken Lay.
Ms. Duncan, thank you very much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Erica Duncan of Enron in Houston, Texas.